But they both have served. And as I mentioned, my very small message today will be about that. But I wanted to ask them to come up. I don't know if they have anything that they wanted to say. I wanted to give an opportunity if anybody did want to say anything or if you had a word of encouragement from the Lord. I've said it before, God's Spirit, if you're in faith, right, His Spirit's in you. So sometimes He's going to give you something that you're like, you know what, I think this might be from God to share with you. And you know, listen to it and hear. If it's encouraging, that's usually a part of how God works things out. So Mark and Betty, you want to come forward and I'm going to give you an opportunity. I know the last thing Mark ever really likes to do is speak. But when he needs to, he does a wonderful job. So, brother.
Stretch,
yeah. Praise God. Yeah, we'll get the tissues for you.
First off, I want to tell you about the Noah kids. They can be challenging, but it's worth every time you go. They just, you love them. And some of them are little stinkers at first. But they
change
don't.
Change your diaper.
They don't know any different, you know, and they adapt quickly. So if you even think about it, just volunteer for that. It'll enrich your life more than it does theirs. And I don't know how we could ever thank everybody for being here for us at any time we needed any encouragement or anything. And when, thank Pastor Donna for, and when Pastor, when I first started coming, Mark wasn't saved yet. Donna, and I don't even probably know how many people did, prayed. And they'd say, is your husband saved? I'm like, I really don't know. He's
sort of.
Yeah. I'm like,
it's like being kind of pregnant. You either are or you're not, you know?
I'm like, he's been going to church for a really long time. He had to. And that was it, you know? But anyway, they prayed and prayed with me, and here he is. It was 2 years. And so that's the most thing that I'm most grateful for of all, because I know when we pass, we'll both be in heaven. So thank you all.
Yeah.
Let me try again. This is definitely bittersweet for us. The sweet part is, you know, I've been working for 58 years. And to be honest with you, I'm starting to get a little tired. So Betty is convinced that I'm incapable of retiring, but I'm looking forward to some day on time. And more importantly than that, we only have 2 grandchildren, and they live a half hour from our new home in Florida. And we are convinced that those hooligans, as well as our daughter and her husband, need our influence in their lives. So we're looking forward to some downtime as well as spending more time and trying to keep them all on the right track. But the bitter part of it is, this is our, like Tom said, we have a unique relationship with this church. Thought I could do this. My son's here, watching me be half a sissy up here.
He'll make a good joke out of it, one of his routines, yeah.
Yeah, the bitter part is, you know, as we said, we have a unique relationship with this church, and more than that, this is our church family, you know, and we feel close to many of you, and most of the friends we have in this crazy world are in this congregation. So that makes it difficult for us, but we will continue to pray for this congregation. And many of you individually. And we appreciate it if you do the same for us. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And anybody who's talked to me about our move has heard me, my tale of woe that our son's going to be in New York and so far from us. He came today with his girlfriend, Lisa. And we're so thankful.
Well, let me ask Pastor Donna and Elder Andre and Pastor Dave, Sister Jen, to come on up again. And we do want to pray a special blessing over Mark and Betty and release them, you know, to what God has next. And as Mark said, to be there with a part of their family, at leave part of their family here presents its own challenges, but we all walk by faith. Right? We're all walking by faith. It's just faith in what? So when you commit your ways to the Lord, he says, I'll make your path straight. That's what Mark and Betty have done. Day in, day out. They commit their way to the Lord and say, you know what, Lord, make this path straight. Make this next foot that I place forward the direction that it should go. Keep it where things should be. So we're going to pray that for them moving forward and trust, right? Because that's what we do. So I'll start. I got the microphone here. I'll pass it as you guys feel led. Father God, Lord, our trust is in you. Lord, life is in you. You have breathed your life into us. That's why we're living beings. It's what makes us different than the rest of creation, Lord. We were made in your image. So, Lord, Mark and Betty, made in your image, have been walking out with faithfulness the good works that you prepared in advance for them to do. That's what your word tells us. We were made to do good things. You've prepared in advance. We walk in them. So, Lord, continue to reveal to Mark and Betty what these next days, what these good works will be, Lord, to be a little closer and more accessible to the grandkids and to their daughter and son-in-law. Lord, to be in a place where, you know what, it is nice to have the sun be warm all the time. But, Lord, your presence is with them. It will continue to be with them. And, Lord, we just ask your blessing. Your favor, Lord, and the things that they walk into next, Lord, that I think of how many times in scriptures I see where, you know, whatever they put their hand to prospered because they were with you and they were walking what you had for them, Lord. So that prosperity, that success, it's how you measure it, Lord, but it's peaceful and it has rest in it. And many times it is true success as anybody's measure would have. And Lord, and Mark and Betty have gotten to enjoy some of that, Lord, the fruit of hard work, yet Lord, guided by you, with wisdom from you, because we all need wisdom. Lord, you are eternal. And Lord, I thank you that you have called them to yourself, and that they will continue to walk with your blessing, with your anointing, and they will be living water where they go. They'll be those springs that you said, Lord, as life comes out of them. So continue to fill them up and pour them out and fill them up and pour them out and fill them up and pour them out. Lord, as they just love you.
And Father God, we just thank you for their faithfulness, Lord God. And although this chapter of their life is closing, Lord God, you're still writing a book. You're still writing a good story, Father God, for them, Lord God, as they continue their ministry, Father God, and where you would have them go, Lord God, raising their kids, their great-grandkids, Lord God. They've been faithful parents, Lord God. You said to raise up a child in the way they should go. And when they get older, they will not depart, Father God, and we can see those fruits, Father God, coming to life, Lord God. And Lord, like so many others, Lord God, that we read about in the Bible, Lord God, and how we remember them, Father God, we will remember Mark and Betty for all they've done at this church, Lord God. And we thank you for their faithfulness, Lord God, for the heart they have for you, Lord God. And Lord, we look forward to hearing many more stories, Father God, and what they will accomplish, Lord God, by your power and your spirit flowing through them, Lord God. In Jesus' name. Amen, Lord.
Mark and Betty, anybody who knows your family knows that you have a gift of laughter, a gift of humor. But always remember that the joy of the Lord is your strength. You have great strength in the God of your salvation and in the joy of salvation. And you can take that with you everywhere you go to weather any storms that the enemy tries to throw at you, and to teach your granddaughters to do the same, to stand strong in the joy of the Lord and to find rest in Him.
Faithfulness. The Lord is saying, faithful servant. Years of sacrifice, years of offering yourself, years of purposing to cover this church, to cover Pastor Charles, to cover Pastor Donna, transferring that to cover Pastor Tom. Mm-hmm. Faithfulness. Mm-hmm. You're a pillar. God has called you to be a pillar, and you are a pillar in His kingdom. And that pillar is faithfulness. And everywhere you go, He's going to use you to be an example of that faithfulness, to continue to step in that. The next congregation where He sets you is truly, surely going to receive a blessing from heaven itself, with each of you being there as servants to continue to build your kingdom in that community. So, Lord, in Jesus' name, open those doors and make way to allow your kingdom to continue to be built as your faithful servants transfer their service, where they place their hands, where they walk, and where they love, and where they share.
God, I pray that you lead them to a new church body where they can sink their roots in deep. I pray that they would, this church would recognize their gifts and their talents and put them to good use there. I pray that you would give them new friendships, strong, strong friendships. Betty is one of the sweetest, most loyal friends I know, and so is Mark. But I just pray that you give them new friends and bring healing in that area of their lives as they're walking away from so many people that they love up here.
This is the one time I'm glad Pastor Charles isn't here. No, not many of you know how hard and diligent and faithful Mark and Betty have been. Unbelievable how they've been. Pastor Charles and I are responsible for the spiritual building of this church, but Mark and Betty are responsible for the physical building of this church. I also don't know how many of you know that underneath this building, the very foundation, many people have signed their names. We took a black magic marker and signed our names and gave a scripture, our favorite scripture, placed it underneath these boards of this building. We even signed our names, our handprints. The little children put their fingerprints on the walls. Behind these walls, if these walls came down, you would see them. Because this foundation has been founded upon the rock. And if Mark and Betty weren't here, I don't know where this building would have been. As Pastor told you, it was just a little fellowship hall on the other side. And Mark and Betty have taken this to the next step. And I'm not even going to look at them. but I can't tell them how appreciative I am. Lord has put many things on my heart and my mind and how loyal they have been. And they've always stood behind us. Always, always stood behind us. Help Pastor Charles like you wouldn't believe. They even sit behind us in the service. So that speaks a lot. That speaks volumes. That speaks loyalty. That speaks faithfulness. And Mark has been blessed beyond measure because of how he has given out to God's people. He is a direct reflection of that.
proof of that when you give to the Lord your all, the Lord gives back so much more. And now their labor here is over, and they'll be able to enjoy their retirement. And for that, I am happy. So I'm crying happy tears as well as sad tears.
So, Mark and Betty, as we do, in some ways, say goodbye. We, of course, love you and send you with God's blessing. Lord, we know his presence will never leave you. He said, I'll never leave or forsake you. So we know that we share in that fellowship. And we look forward to the times we'll get to physically see each other again for as many years as the Lord tarries or as long as he gives us healthy bodies and minds. But we know that we'll also celebrate in eternity forever when we rejoice as the Lord makes all things new and finally puts evil away forever. So we look forward to those days as well, and we send you with God's blessing. Yes. And all God's people said, amen. 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 Amen.
And I don't think he can't retire. I think he's going to have a little.
Praise God. Laura wants to say a little something. If there is anybody else, I know I kind of looked around, but I'd be open to say something as well.
How many people on Wednesday like the snacks that we serve, the coffee, and a lot of hands? I realize a lot of you might not know where that started on Wednesday. We've had it here for a long time, but about maybe it's 5 years ago now, Betty had it on her heart for a while to bring Kim Crable's coffee ministry here, and me and Betty led it together, and it was a 9-week thing that the women did, and it involved coffee and snacks. And remember, the men met over here, and they were so jealous that we had coffee and snacks, and they'd come walking over, and they would raid us, when they were done. And then the coffee series ended, and people were like, where's the snacks? And we had some people stop coming out. So that's where the coffee and snacks came from. So you can thank Mark and Betty, especially Betty, for that. But so.
I see a hand coming from the back. It's the tanks.
Oh, if I can do this without crying, because they are really dear friends of ours, and we're going to really, really miss you guys. But what I want to share is that Mark really spoke into our lives a few years ago, and if it wasn't for him, we wouldn't have the opportunities that we have and to get to do what we do today. We'd always talked about flipping houses, but just didn't really know how to get started with it. And it was really a desire of my heart, and I hadn't, we never really talked to anybody else about it. And then one day Mark came over, and he just starts speaking into our lives. I mean, he just started pouring into us. It was like a cup he was just pouring into us. And he's coached us over the years, and it's really blessed us. And so now we're able to do this, and it's been really great. And if it wasn't for him, we wouldn't be able to do it. And I'm really thankful. Thank you, Mark, so much.
Yes, thank you. That's enough.
Steve just echoes with a thank you. What I hope you're hearing is what happens when the body just functions like a body, right? You look at your physical body, and you don't think a lot about each of its parts doing what they do, but hurt one part of your body, and you'll know, right? We got Haley there, right? Wake up with a toothache. The whole world just changed, right? Your face is swollen. You know, you're canceling everything, just because, you know, there's a nerve that's got aggravated. And what you're seeing is what happens when the body functions in the way that God's designed it. Each of us are unique. Each of the things that he calls us to are unique. And as we walk with him in those things, we become a strength in that area for everybody else. And that's what Mark and Betty have done. Just living life, okay, letting God work in them who he is. And that's what God's intended for all of us, right? To work into us who he is. And I will be very brief. Believe me, don't get too worried. You know, like, he's just starting to preach now. I knew that we were going to spend some time, and I didn't know how long, and I wanted to be sensitive to that. But I also knew it wasn't, as I looked at where we were, because we've been working our way through John, that it didn't match up well. But I found myself just thinking and looking at scriptures about serving and being a servant and what it means to be a servant. And there's some scriptures that start to come to mind that we're familiar with, but the biggest one of them that really set me thinking and got me digging more was when, you know, Jesus, right, saying to his disciples, it's in a couple of the Gospels, but he's saying, you know, even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and give his life a ransom for many. Right, so he said that, you know, in the context of, for one, two of the disciples saying, hey, when you come into your kingdom, I want the left, my bro wants the right. Can you hook us up? And Jesus says, well, and you know they didn't really ask him like that, right? they also didn't say, thou Lord, because that's King James, that was 16th century English. But they asked, and they got their mother to ask, right? Yeah. You read the other Gospels, it says their mother asked, like, come on, guys. These are big, tough fishermen, right? Their mother's saying same thing. And Jesus is saying, you don't even know what you're asking for. You don't know what you're asking for. And he's like, can you drink from the cup that I'm going to drink from? Can you, you know, take part of the baptism that I'm going to take part of? You will. He tells me, you will. He goes, but who's going to sit on the right and left? That's not up for me to determine. But he goes on to say what I just said, that for even the Son of Man, as he references himself, came not to be served. For one, the references there is that he was somewhere else before he was here. Right? He came. Right? We think of Christmas time and baby Jesus. Right? It is one of the most profound mysteries to try to wrap our finite brain around an infinite God entering time. Right? We're not having that sermon today. But he came. And as we've been working our way through John and you've seen the Gospels, he often said, I was sent for. I came for this. And I'm working on a side sermon just on that. And this will be one of the pieces of it. But that he came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life. I mean, have you ever considered Jesus as your servant? Right? Isn't there something that just kind of feels a little bit like, right? I actually, that's why I titled the message, Jesus, My Servant. And it's hard to say. You're like, I can say my Lord, I can say my God, but he said that he came to serve. So for me to consider him as my servant, I'm like, what does this mean? You know, how can God be my servant? Because the first thing that comes to mind for most of us is, you know, a servant that does our bidding. You know, James, you know, get me my tea, or whatever it is. You know, or drive me here, or take me there. And if we think that Jesus as our servant means that he's here to do our bidding, we're definitely mistaken. Yet he says, I came to serve and not be served. And yet many of us do pray as if he's just going to like do our bidding. Right? All the things that come to our mind, whatever's important to us at the moment, whatever's bothering us, whatever's going on in our family, that's the stuff that we just take to God and say, hey, I know you're probably busy, you got the whole universe, you got a lot going on, but here's what's going on in my life, can you please help me out here? And most people, their prayers tend to be, I'll say, self-focused, but they're also very rooted in the temporary. And yet God says, I've come to serve you, and his purposes in doing that are way bigger. Way bigger, right? We read not that long ago in John 13 about Jesus washing the disciples' feet, right? He's washing their feet. And it's there as he does that, and I won't reiterate the whole part again. You know, he says, hey, do you get what I did for you? Do you get it? You call me Lord, you call me teacher, that's right. Okay? But I've washed your feet because I want you to do this for each other. And it's not just the physical washing of the feet. And those of us who've heard these portions before, you know it was the lowest job in the house for somebody to do that. And yet Jesus is doing it. And he's saying, you know what? This is what I want you guys to be marked by. Serving each other at this level where you don't look at, you know, what does the title say on the front of my nameplate today, right? You go into different businesses and, you know, the offices get nicer as the status goes up. Right, and the floors get higher, and eventually moves to the corner, and it's got glass all around it, and you get a key to the special bathroom, because you don't want to let the other people use your bathroom. Right? Jesus is the opposite. Right, the King of creation, God incarnate, literally saying, I didn't come to be served, but I came to serve. And so then I have to say, what is he serving me? What is he giving me? What is this about? And you know, we see Jesus referenced in the Old Testament, right? So the Jewish scriptures revealing who the Messiah, who the servant of God is. How many times in Isaiah and other places do we read the servant of the Lord? And there's this beautiful description that when we read it, we're like, that's Jesus, right? He is. He is this servant. Israel referred to time and again as the servant of the Lord. And yet, Jesus, not here to do our bidding, but told us, right? He then said, we just looked at this portion recently in John. He just said, you know what? If you ask for anything in my name, the Father's going to do it. Hey, wait, doesn't that sound like my bidding? Like, hey, God, guess what I need? Let me move the decimal over in my salary a couple places. You know, what's coming in or what I'm driving or where I'm living, right? These things that, yes, they're important, but the Lord told us, you know what, I know you need that stuff, but don't worry about it, right? Because what's going to profit you if you gain the whole world and you lose your soul, right? We all get to that day. So he's telling us there that the Father will do anything that we ask in his name, but that was spoken in the context, as we referenced recently, of abiding in him and dwelling in and being with him. And he starts to talk about this transitory nature of the fact that God wants to abide in you. And then as that's happening, sure, you're going to be fruitful. You're going to have a life that's fruitful by God's measure. Okay? And as you ask for what you need, and God's going to lead you in that, yeah, you're going to get everything you need. So that's why to hear testimonies or to watch how people like Mark and Betty and even Haley just serve, that's what they're doing. They're serving. And Jesus didn't call us to be his servants, right? He didn't say, come serve me. Right, you go over to Peter, James, Andrew, all the, you know, and even say, he doesn't say, hey, come serve me. What does he say? Like, follow me. Follow me. I want you to follow me. Right? You can be my disciples. You can be those who learn from me. And what he then does is he turns around and serves. Right? So he doesn't say, come serve me, but he says, come follow me, and then watch what I do. And learn of me. And my way, it's not a hard burden, right? He says it's not hard. And we just read last time in John, You know, that no greater love can anyone have than to lay his life down for his friends, to lay their life down. And that's what service is where you are laying down, you know, what you say is your life. And we've read it last time even, you know, the definition of love, right? You know, to put others' needs ahead of your own. We read how Jesus did that. We read that scripture in Philippians that I'll read to you, you know, in just a moment. But Jesus, in giving us this example and turning around and serving us, right, he then said, right, if any of you guys want to follow me, what do you got to do? You got to deny yourself, right? Because if there is anybody who could have said he deserves, it was him. He deserves everything. I think that was my phone. And he said, deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow. Many of you are familiar with John Piper. He's a Christian pastor and author. He says, the good news is that the radical call to Christian discipleship is not a call to serve Jesus, but to be served by Jesus as we serve others and to be ransomed by him from death. What he is serving us is life. And he said, here, abundant, but then eternal. Right? This life gets abundant. And those of you who've followed God's principles, you can't stop it. It overtakes you. The blessings overtake you. Right? I say it. Sometimes I feel guilty. And then I don't. But I realize I'm blessed to be a blessing. Right? I'm not blessed to hoard it. Right? Mark and Betty, blessed to be a blessing. Right? Hospitality out the wazoo. Come over to their house, whatever you want. Yep. Fortunately, Laura and I eat like Betty, so we're good. Right? It's like you come over to our house and, you know, it's like, okay, do you want salad, fruit, or veggies? But that hospitality that's there, it's a part of serving. And I'll sum it up with just really three statements, and then I'll read you a couple of scripture verses as I tie it together. Serving is loving. So when you say you're loving somebody, often you're serving them. And when you're doing it from love, you're not thinking, I'm serving. You're just doing it. You're just doing it. You're not saying, you know what, oh, I love them, I guess I have to do this. I better. You just find yourself doing it because you want to serve them. So serving is loving. Serving is also dying. Right? Serving is dying. It's where you're saying, you know what? There is no better way to live than to give. So I can lay what I see as my life down. And the beauty, you guys all know this. The paradox of what God has put into place is, as we lay it down, he says, well, yeah, now let me give you some real life. Okay, you're going to have life like you can't imagine. It is going to overflow you. Okay? But we surrender what we think we have control of, which we don't. Right? We think we don't. So he says, let go of what you can't keep anyway, and let me give you something you couldn't get. It's a good deal. Serving is dying. And so then by the transitory property, loving is serving and dying. And we get to. I mean, I truly pray that each of you look for ways that God has made you to serve each other. Here, in your families, where you work, you know, we live in a service-based economy, right? We're not an agrarian culture anymore. Well, I look at Daniel every time I think of farming. Right? If we had to live off the land tomorrow, I'd be in trouble. Right? I go to the store to buy food. Right? I don't figure out how the ground can give me what I need. Right? Our economy has, I'm going to say advanced. We can, you know, discuss that another time. But, you know, we're at a place where we trade goods and services to each other, right? With a margin, we keep the difference. We call it making money. I made money, right? Yet the best organizations these days are the ones that are creating the best service for the best value. We call that a successful business. And yet, you know, here, you know, God is saying, you know, I'm going to give you a successful life as you give and serve to each other. whether your financial net worth is anything that ever measures high by anybody's standard or whether it does. Either way, real life comes in giving and serving and living and allowing yourself to be given up, spent for others. John Maxwell, right, well-known leadership guru. The measure of a leader is not in the number of people who serve him, but the number of people he serves. And I referenced not too long ago some of Wawa's principles on servant leadership. And you'll often hear the CEO say, "I work for you," when he's talking to the employees. "I work for you. You determine whether I keep my job or not." And we have a whole process, a voice of the associate, and these ways that they can, general manager count, all these things that they can do to voice how they think the company's being run. We're not here to judge how God's running the universe, though. We do that a lot, too. Right? Like, hey, if you're really who you say you are, I think you're slipping up a little bit. Did you know what's going on? Did you see what happened? Haley referenced the stabbings in Tokyo. Virginia Beach yesterday. Or Friday, rather. A workplace violence situation. And it's horrible. It's horrible. And yet, I keep coming back to the same place. Jesus gave us the answer right before he left. He said, "Go make disciples. Teach people to follow me." Okay? And then their heart becomes a heart that loves and serves and lays down itself for other people and doesn't get involved and doesn't entertain itself or doesn't inundate itself in a way where it becomes so severed or so distorted or so hurt or so broken or where it took the hard things that it had happened and ingested them and rebels or blows up. That, from what they're saying, that guy had no signs whatsoever of not being well. He took 12 lives. All right, let me close with a couple of scripture readings and I will bless and dismiss you all. Paul tells us in Philippians, "Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant. Being born in the likeness of men and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross." Well-known scripture in Ephesians. "Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her." Sorry, Mark. I don't get to speak any of the wife verses. I only get to speak the husband verses. 1 John 3:16. We all know John 3:16. 1 John 3:16. "By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers." So Jesus didn't call us to be servants, but he did call us to be followers. But then as we follow, we become servants. And as we serve, we have this opportunity to really live. We really live. So I want to just encourage you, as you leave, to look at the ways that God has wired you. You're all wired uniquely. Some more uniquely than others. But it's a beautiful tapestry. It's beautiful, right? And we all get to do our part. So for whatever you think you do or don't have, allow us to help you. Now, that doesn't mean I'm going to put you to work here, but I might. No. But there's things to do. There's people to care for. There's things that need attention, right? And you can be that person and be that type of light the way Mark and Betty have been for a lot of us here. So let me ask you to stand. I'll pray a blessing over you and dismiss you. As always, If you have something that you want prayer for, we'll have some folks up here to pray with you. We'll gladly do that. If you're in a place in your life where you're not sure what's up with you and God, whether you've known him or not known him or experienced him or not experienced him, you know, we would love to pray for you as well and ask God to continue to reveal himself and make himself real, that you can know this abundant life that he's come to give. Because this life is short. Eternal life is not. Eternal life is not. So, Father God, thanking you for this new day. Thanking you, Lord, for the grace that you give that sustains us. Lord, for what you said is your patience, because you do not want any to leave this world without knowing you. So you patiently wait. You said you're not slow about keeping any of those promises, but you're being patient. So, Lord, we rest in that right now. Lord, even when we look around and question, we trust you, because that's what faith is. It's declaring by faith things that we don't see, but it's a hope and it's a trust. And you've given us enough evidence, Lord. We get to experience you here and now. So, Lord, we trust you for the future, that we can't. We can't hold on to that. You have that. So, Lord, I pray this blessing over everyone here, using the words that you gave to Moses when you said, "The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace." And all God's people said, amen. Amen.